the world is a brighter place with the Yola Nash Show.
Hey, this is Yola Nash. Welcome to the Yola Nash Show on 77 WABC Radio New York, the number one talk radio station in the country. I'm so excited to be with all of you today, and I hope your weekend is going great so far. And thank you so much for tuning in. And I assure you, you've made the right decision because we're going to have a fantastic show. And also, if you want to make me really happy, please find me on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and my handles are so easy to remember. It's just Yola Nash or Yola Nash Show. And please don't forget to tell your friends about the Yola Nash Show. Every weekend, I bring the world's biggest stars and the greatest experts all for you. And now, let's talk about today's episode. I must say, I have a very special treat for all of you. Guess what? One of the greatest opera singers in the world, the legendary Jessie Norman, is on the show today. So don't miss her as we chat about her incredible career and also a beautiful project of hers that's coming up really soon. And I also have an incredible relationship expert and matchmaker, Eileen Fisher. And of course, as usual, there will be something for your heart and your soul with the brilliant poet and artist Fela Cederbaum. So don't go anywhere and enjoy the show.
Listen why the world's biggest stars love talking to Yola Nash on WABC Radio, The Yola Nash Show.
And I'm super excited to introduce my fantastic guest. She's one of the most celebrated opera singers in the world. She's the recipient of numerous prestigious awards, including multiple Grammy Awards and also a Grammy Award for Lifetime Achievement, the National Medal of the Arts, over 40 honorary doctorate degrees. She's performed on the greatest stages across the globe. And she's joining me now on the Yola Nash Show. Please welcome to the show the legendary and beautiful Miss Jessie Norman.
Thank you very much. What a lovely introduction.
I'm so thrilled to and honored to have you on the show. There are no words to express how happy I am.
Well, you're very kind to say all of that. Thank you very much.
I have to confess, when I hear you sing, it touches my soul. I feel like I'm in heaven.
Oh, thank you. Well, that is what we aim to do as singers, is to communicate with the audience, no matter the language or the sentiment of the song, to actually to say something and to tell a story each time, and to perhaps sort of make a difference in the way one feels during the day, to hear a song about light or a song about clouds or a song about love or a song about loss or just a silly romantic song.
Yeah. When did you first start singing? Do you remember?
Well, I don't remember ever not singing. I mean, my parents always told me that I began singing at about the same time that I began speaking. My mother was a singer and played piano, and my grandmother was a singer, so there was music all the time, and in the church and the community. By the time I was about 3 or 4 years old, I was singing in the choir of the church for children. And I remember very well the first time I sang at my school. Oh, I was 6 years old and invited to sing for the entire school. And, of course, I was very pleased about that. And one of the reasons that the teachers sort of relayed to my parents, which, of course, I didn't know at the time, that one of the reasons they wanted me to sing is that they wouldn't have to move the microphone up and down because I didn't need the microphone.
That's fantastic.
And I wasn't you know, put off by this at all. I thought, well, that's great, you know.
So beautiful. I love stories like that. Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely true. Very funny. And it was a big school. We had lots of children.
Oh, wow. Where did the love of opera begin?
Well, I sort of bumbled into opera. Uh-huh. I was given, on my 9th birthday, I was given my very own radio. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I could sort of go into my bedroom, close the door, and listen to anything that I wanted.
Yes.
And then on Saturdays, it was my day to clean my room in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And so I would take the time to clean my room, whatever the length of the opera was, on the radio. And I just turned on the radio one day and sort of heard this beautiful singing, and there was this wonderful man who described everything that was happening at the Met. It was kind of my background music. I came to understand very quickly that it was music that I liked, mm-hmm. and I loved the voices, and most of all, I loved the fact that I was not lost in it, that the person who was describing everything did it thoroughly. I just listened and enjoyed the sounds and was told what was happening. I thought, well, that's what opera is.
Mm-hmm. Wow, beautiful. And on the beginning of your amazing career in Germany, well, yes. critics struggled to describe your powerful and beautiful voice. They simply couldn't squeeze it in into any category. And they loved doing that, of course.
Yes,
you, but you already knew which roles were right for you and which were not. And my question is, why is that knowledge so important to a young opera singer?
I think it's extremely important to know where you are mm-hmm. As a singer or any other kind of musician, where you are in your own development, and not to go for things, certainly not in public, for which you're not really prepared. And it was certainly very easy for me, sort of starting out at the Opera House in Berlin when I was only 24. So I went to the opera very often, and there were singers not much older than I, whose voices sounded a lot older than they were chronologically. And I really wanted to understand what was going on. And it turned out that they were often singing, you know, three or four times a week.
Right.
And singing, you know, operas that were perhaps something that they should have done 10 years later or something. So I was very careful about agreeing to various roles and so on. And I simply paid attention to how my voice felt in something. I was just very, very cognizant of what was going on around me, and very protective of my own little sound. I really was.
Yeah, that's the best what you can do for yourself, for
I
your
really
future.
I really feel so. Yes, absolutely.
Yes. Wow. And you have achieved so much. Do you ever come to the point that you can say, now I can rest and sit on my laurels?
I don't think that occurs, really. It has not happened to me, and I can't imagine that it would happen. There's a wonderful saying of Abraham Lincoln where he says, the tree is best measured when it is down.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that applies to us in our professions, that we can only sort of see what we've done and that we can say, okay, that's it, when it truly is over, for whatever reason. I think as long as we're still in it, as long as we're still wanting to do it, as long as we still have the energy and the curiosity for it,
mm-hmm.
that I think that we're still growing. So I think that this tree might have one or two branches left, so I'm still growing.
Fantastic. Oh, we love you so much, so please never stop.
I'll keep
never going. Stop growing.
Thank you.
Every time I listen to you singing or telling stories, I sense that incredible, peaceful, loving aura around you. And my question is, do you pray? Do you meditate?
Oh, yes, I meditate every single day. I don't think, and I have been doing this for a lot of years, I don't think I'd be able to manage it all if I did not meditate. It is difficult not to simply be worried all the time and concerned and on edge. But with the wonderfulness of Hatha Yoga, I'm able to get through the day. It isn't easy. It isn't simple. But without it, I don't know how I would manage.
And now let's talk about a very special project of yours,
yeah.
about a pioneering and groundbreaking opera singer in the 19th century, the first African-American artist to sing in the main hall of Carnegie Hall, Sarita
yes.
Jones. And I know this project is so important to you. Why this project is so important?
It's extremely important to me to know that there was a person, an African-American opera singer. Imagine this. Now, just sort of cast your mind back. Born in 1868.
Yes.
3 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, which means she happened not to have been born in slavery, but her parents were and her grandparents were. She was able, that soon after the Emancipation Proclamation, to study singing with singing teachers in Boston.
Wow.
And I feel that it's important that we should know who she was. We should understand the period in which she worked. We should understand that this incredible woman sang for 4 presidents at the White House,
mm-hmm.
that she had her own touring company, not to mention that she was world famous and doing all of these things, taking care of her own business, and to help other people of her race that were also performers, that they traveled around together as the Black Troubadours and were applauded, you know, sort of up and down this country and around the world.
Wow. So now I can do only one thing. I'd love to invite our great listeners to an evening honoring Jessie Norman to benefit her project, Cesarita Jones, Call Her By Her Name.
Yes.
And it will be on Monday, December 17th at 6 p.m. And it's produced by National Sawdust. It's going to be a star-studded evening of absolutely great performances.
Oh, yes.
Yes, it will take place in Brooklyn, New York, 80 North 6th Street. 80 North 6th Street, Brooklyn, New York, December 17th at 6 p.m. And for tickets, go to nationalsawdust.org, nationalsawdust.org. Or for more information, you can also visit another website, adinaworks.com. And this is going to be an incredible evening. I can't wait to to participate and enjoy it.
Well, we're looking forward to it, and it's going to be a wonderful launch for people to get to know this singer, her life.
I can't wait to see you there, and thank you so much for your time today. I absolutely admire your extraordinary talent and your beautiful spirit.
Thank you. You're very kind to have me, and I thank you very much for our lovely conversation.
Thank you, thank you. Miss Jessie Norman, everybody. Bravo. That's so beautiful. There is more. Yes, but now we have to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
Internationally award-winning medical doctor and scientist, Dr. Stan Brzezinski, discovered a non-toxic and gentle treatment for cancer.
1 year after starting Dr. Brzezinski's treatment, UCLA pronounced me in remission. Dr. Brzezinski saved my life.
Perhaps Dr. Brzezinski has found the medical breakthrough of the century.
Don't miss Dr. Stan Brzezinski on the Yola Nash Show to hear about his groundbreaking gene-targeted cancer treatment and the renowned Brzezinski Clinic. Dr. Brzezinski has saved the lives of thousands of terminally ill patients from around the world.
I am Dr. Stan Brzezinski. I have dedicated my entire career of over 40 years to cancer research and treatment. My mission is to help save as many lives as possible.
For more information or schedule a consultation, go to BrzezinskiClinic.com or call 800-714-7181. That's 800-714-7181. Don't miss Dr. Brzezinski on the Yola Nash Show.
And now let's dive into a different topic, and let me welcome my next guest.
Yola Nash, the next celebrity interview.
I'm so excited to introduce my fantastic guest. She's a great relationship expert and matchmaker, and she will give us some exclusive advice for finding love. Please welcome to the show the incredible Eileen Fisher.
Thank you, Yola, for having me. Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be on the show.
How does one become a matchmaker?
The truth of the matter is I don't remember not matchmaking. I just always love setting people up. It just comes to me. It's my joy, my love, my pleasure.
And is it true that you met your husband because you were trying to set him up as well?
It is absolutely true. I was at a wedding, and he was there with all his fraternity brothers, and we started talking and hanging out. And the true story is that I kept on saying, I'm going to set you up with someone, and he told me I gave him the wrong number. And here we are 23 years later.
So amazing.
Yes.
And I would love to ask you, what do you do when you've had some bad experiences? And some people are in that kind of weird place in their life that they feel lonely, they don't know how to get back to this dating scene. Tell us where to start.
Yeah, you know, Yola, you don't hear why no one has ever asked me that question, and I love that question because the reason I love it is I feel that, first of all, getting out there, I know this is something we were maybe going to discuss, apps. It's very hard with apps because, and I understand apps have to exist because it's today's society.
Yes.
But the problem with an app, when people get back out there, that's the first thing they're going to do. They're going to go Tinder, Match.com, JDate, there's so many of them. But the problem with an app and the way I feel, it's just like a magazine.
Mm-hmm.
You're constantly looking and looking and looking until you find like the perfect pair of jeans or the perfect pocketbook, and then you decide you pick it. But also the problem with the app is you can make so many dates off that app. So the competition is fierce.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very hard when you first go out there. But unfortunately, it is the way right now. But I am an old school person. As I tell, I meet so many people, and I feel like everyone wants me to be their savior. But what I try to teach them is go out there. When you go to a coffee bar, you can't imagine how many people are sitting in a restaurant, and they're lonely and looking for someone too. Now, I'm not telling you to give an awkward smile or be weird, but you just never know where you can meet somebody. So the first thing I tell people is go out there with the want and the willingness and the openness to meet someone, but don't go out there with your checklist. That's the first thing I teach people.
Mm-hmm.
Be open to meeting somebody.
Yeah. And also talking about an online dating and all these apps, as you have mentioned, basically it's very hard to believe that information that's there because people put fake photos and fake information and it's just like all this catfishing, lying, all that stuff.
Yes. And it's funny that you say that there's a movie out right now that I keep on telling everyone. I nonstop talk about, it's called Nobody's Fool, and I keep on telling everyone, look, it's everything I'm saying.
Yes.
She got catfished by it. And the first thing, you would love it, Yola, if you ever watch me interview somebody, I have all the women come to my building, and they'll walk in, and I ask them to send me a photo of them. And the first thing I say to them, are you serious? Do you think you look like this photo? Because the first thing a guy's going to do when he meets you is expect that photo.
Yes, and he's going to be shocked.
That's right. That's exactly right. Be who you are. If you're a jeans person, show a picture of you in jeans. Don't show a picture of you all dressed up going somewhere because that's not who you are. But it's so funny. I read some of these things and it sounds like they're coming out. People are just using every adjective in the world to describe themselves.
Yes. Like you said, I think the secret to this is be true, be yourself, and don't pretend anybody that you are not, because it's not going to take you far, right?
You're very right. And the other thing I tell people, it's very important for people to realize that if you accept who you are at this time in your life and what you want, then the right person's going to come in. But if you tell yourself all the time, I'll only date a guy who's 6 foot, and he has to have this and that and this, it's not going to happen. Same thing. When I meet a guy and he tells me I only want this and this, it's not going to happen because the greatest thing in the world could be in front of you and you don't realize it. You should look at a date as you're allowing anything to happen when you meet somebody. Then you let your whole list down of what you're looking for in somebody. And you'll let different ages, there's different priorities you're looking at.
Absolutely.
At 20, and when you're, you know, when you're getting married in your late 20s, you have to make sure that you guys want really the same thing, meaning kids, very important, meaning do you both want to grow the same?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't know that. When you're older, as my age, I believe in divorce. I believe in change because we're allowed to change. We're allowed to evolve.
And from your experience, what are the biggest dating mistakes people make, women and men?
I think, who do you want me to go to first?
Let's go to women.
Sure. You're like, tell me what my mistakes are.
Yes.
I call it the runaway bride effect, meaning that a woman puts on a fake persona of herself. If you remember the Julia Roberts movie,
yes.
She always ate her eggs, however it was. So
mm-hmm.
I always tell someone that a woman I want to use the word manipulate, to make sure they're that woman that the guy really wants at the beginning. But what happens is after the first 3 months, it's going to all fade away and you become who you really are. So I think for a woman, it's the fakeness. It's the runaway bride effect.
Mm-hmm.
I think for a man, I think men forget that although New York is a candy store, they're getting older also. And I think for a man, when they're sitting in front of a woman, men get very excited, Yola, from that amazing phone call. This is the one, this is the one. And they get higher expectations from that great phone call and the expectancy. They go low quicker. In other words, if the girl walks in and it wasn't like that amazing phone call, they're done.
Mm-hmm.
They're done. They forget. Wait a minute, slow down. Let it happen.
Absolutely. Let's touch on texting versus calling, because people love texting right now. But
yeah, yes.
Calling
yes.
is just more involving and
yes.
you hear emotions. What's your take on this whole thing?
Oh, another good subject you just hit me on. I love this. So I actually have a rule when I set two people up. My guys have to say, they send a text, Eileen gave me your phone number. When is it a good time to talk?
Mm-hmm.
The girl then has to answer. They must have at least a 10 to 15 minute conversation. But the point is, I hate overly texting.
Yes.
Overly texting, unless you send an emoji, you don't understand it. Let's say, Yola, you and I are having a conversation. I say, Yola, I had a nice night. And you're thinking, I had a nice night. Why didn't they write great? Why didn't they write amazing? And you're overanalyzing
mm-hmm.
how a text is said. You, like you were saying, you can't hear the person's voice tone. So I hate texting on communication.
And I'm pretty sure many people are wondering right now, many of our listeners who are maybe in the moment in their life, they are looking for someone, how to attract the right person. Because sometimes, like you have told us, sometimes we put on this fake persona.
If you're yourself, that's what they're going to like. That goes back to the woman being fake. So I call it the year effect. The first 3 months, somebody's fake, and you're like, oh, I'm so happy. The next 3 months, you start to fight with the person because your true characteristics come out. The next 3 months, if you make it, you're yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The last 3 months of the year, if you make it through all that, you have a good chance. But the best way to meet someone is just be yourself, because that's where the chemistry is going to kick off. You want the person to know who you are and feel you and be attracted to exactly who, I'm using you in this for instance, who Yola is. You want someone to love you for your charm, your sweetness, your warmth, who you are, minus your looks. You know, that's a given, you're attractive. But you want someone to connect with you, be like, wow, she's amazing. She just gives this energy off that I want to be with her.
Yes, absolutely. I have so many questions for you. I mean, we could talk like for hours and
hours. I know, this is my favorite. Yola, I love this. You've asked me questions that people haven't asked me. I love this.
Oh my gosh,
no,
Eileen,
don't.
Thank you so much for today. And please give us your social media handles and your website.
Great. On Instagram, you can find me at HeartMatchMe. And then I run Manhattan, New York for Elite, ELITE. Connections International, which is based out of California. She's in business for 27 years. So those are the two ways you can really find me. And And thank you, Yola. This was one of my absolute favorite interviews. I really appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate your time as well, because we've learned a lot, and I'm pretty sure we're going to talk again, because this is fascinating and we need you.
Good. Thank you, Yola.
Stay informed. Yola Nash is New York. Internationally award-winning medical doctor and scientist, Dr. Stan Brzezinski, discovered a non-toxic and gentle treatment for cancer.
1 year after starting Dr. Brzezinski's treatment, UCLA pronounced me in remission. Dr. Brzezinski saved my life.
Perhaps Dr. Brzezinski has found the medical breakthrough of the century.
Don't miss Dr. Stan Brzezinski on the Yola Nash Show to hear about his groundbreaking gene-targeted cancer treatment and the renowned Brzezinski Clinic. Dr. Brzezinski has saved the lives of thousands of terminally ill patients from around the world.
I am Dr. Stan Brzezinski. I have dedicated my entire career of over 40 years to cancer research and treatment. My mission is to help save as many lives as possible.
For more information or schedule a consultation, go to BrzezinskiClinic.com or call 800-714-7181. That's 800-714-7181. Don't miss Dr. Brzezinski on the Yola Nash Show.
And now it's time for my poetry corner and my favorite poet, Fela Cederbaum, aka Mano Dano, and her beautiful poetry. I must admit, it touches my heart all the time, and I absolutely encourage you to explore Fela's beautiful art. You will never ever regret it. So please check out her website, manodano.com, and also find her on amazon.com, her new poetry book entitled Of Life and Other Such Matters. And now, here is Fela Cederbaum. Listen.
When I was finally tired of endless thoughts, can you guess what happened? More thoughts erupted. More thoughts about the fact that I was tired, was done with them, was no longer excited by their endless permutations of right and wrong, of good and bad, of yes and no. I long to bathe once again in the sea that breathes these strange ephemeral structures, that inhabit the day, that dream the night, and crowd the immensity of thoughtlessness. Want to forget the suction pump of ceaseless variations of me and be eternally tickled. Tickled by a bubbling heart, exploding in shimmering laughter. Yes, like that.
So beautiful. And I promise I'll feature Fela again on my next episode. Unfortunately, it's time to wrap up the show. Time flies. I know. But the only thing I can say now is don't miss my next episode. Let's do it again. You can listen live on Saturday 2 a.m. or Sunday 4 p.m. And if you missed any of my shows or any of your favorite stars, you can also visit wabcradio.com podcast page and check out the Yola Nash Show. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. My handles are so easy to remember, Yola Nash or Yola Nash Show. So until next time, stay well, be happy. I'm Yola Nash.
The Yola Nash Show.